Back to cannabis. It's been called the referendum. And as of yesterday, the draft cannabis legislation bill has been made public. It proposes allowing people to buy up to 14 grams of the drug per day, making edibles legal and allowing up to 4 of the plants to be grown for personal use per household. You'll still have to be 20 to buy it, though, and you won't be able to smoke it in public nor drive under the influence. The Drug Foundation's director, Ross Bell, says it ticks all the boxes, and he's with us now. Morena.
Morena, Kim.
According to Simon Bridges, it doesn't tick the boxes of the tax level, the THC level, and the traffic, i.e. drug driving, the three T's, you might say. Can we talk about those one by one? What about the taxation?
Well, maybe he hasn't read the draft bill, because it outlines that there will be a taxation and there will be a levy, and importantly, that levy is going to be sliced off and invested into health and education. So that stuff is in there.
No, his point, it doesn't say what the tax will be, though, does it?
No, well, the good thing about what the government is proposing for things like tax, but for other things as well, is building some flexibility through regulations. What we've seen overseas where legalisation has happened, that people have to go back, because it's a new thing, have to go back and make some changes. And so building things like a tax level in regulations, being able to change that over time, I think is the right thing to do.
Is the THC content going to be able to be controlled?
Yeah, they've done that in Canada. They haven't set an upper limit in Canada, but they've set a maximum dose per packet. So that might be something we want to look at in New Zealand. The other thing they've also said, where you're combining potency and tax, is that you can set higher taxes on those higher potency products to influence the price, similarly to what we do with spirits versus beer.
And what about drug driving? Are you confident that we'll be able to apprehend people who are under the influence, and how?
Well, drug driving is a problem now, and the government really needs to be addressing that now. I think the technology, the equipment that we're going to be able to give police, that will improve over time. We know New Zealand researchers are looking at that now. The impairment test police currently use is really effective. So I think in future you're going to see, drug driving obviously staying illegal, but us equipping the police, training them up so that they can do more roadside enforcement, as well as that public education about, don't drive while impaired. So these things might take a bit of time, but these are all doable.
It is purported that this legislation will make cannabis harder to get for young people now, and harder to get than alcohol if you are underage. Yeah. How will it make it harder?
I have some optimism there. One is when we look overseas in the states that have legalized in the US as well as Canada, we aren't seeing an increase in youth use when they put these kind of regimes in place. But back home, if New Zealand learns from what we've done around tobacco, where we've raised the age, we've put in taxation, we've done things around marketing and sponsorship, over time we've seen youth rates of tobacco use drop significantly. And the proposals in the bill are quite similar to the kind of framework that we've put in place around tobacco. And also setting that age at 20 does start to send a clear message to young New Zealanders, who are pretty smart, that this is for adults only.
Yeah, although they've been brought up to think that if they can get it, they can smoke it. So that's going to take quite a sea change.
No, well, I'm more optimistic than that. I think if you have the public education and the messaging that's going to be built into the law, the health warnings, the setting those standards, not having the kind of marketing that we've allowed around alcohol. We're not going to sell cannabis from the supermarket like we have with alcohol. This is a pretty strict bill. And I think young New Zealanders are pretty smart. They are very open to hearing those health messages. So I'm more optimistic around how we can reduce youth use. But I think more importantly, this bill is around, for those adults who choose to use cannabis, setting those sort of safety standards and those rules in place. So I think, taking it out of the black market and putting some controls around it, I think is a much more sensible approach.
14 grams a day amounts to something like 40 joints. That's an awful lot.
Oh, it's quite funny watching the media get panicked about this 14 grams. So it's half of what Canada has. But
yeah, but still, you know, that's 14 grams allowed per day. Now, nobody's going to smoke that much, so...
Correct.
What are they going to do with it? They pass it on to the grandchildren.
Well, let's imagine what that's going to be like. Someone will go to the store once a week or once a month, depending on what their, you know, what their use is, and they'll buy whatever they need, and they might share amongst, you know, their mates on the weekend. I think that 14 grams is quite a reasonable limit. It's much less than what Canada has. But it's, look, you have to make pragmatic policy choices, and I think setting a limit, you have to set a limit, and I think 14 grams is a good enough pick.
Those Canadians, they're wild, aren't they?
We can learn from the Canadians. They've done some things well and some things they haven't. And so, you know, we're able to see what others have done and take the best bits from those jurisdictions. But importantly, let's learn from how we've mucked up around alcohol and how we've been successful around tobacco and put that kind of public health regime in place. This is, I guess, not rocket science.
Thank you. Ross Bell of the Drug Foundation.